They moored the raft among a grove of tamarinds that grew close to the banks of the Tennessee River. JB went a little way upstream, and Jack picked his cautious path downstream to keep watch while Mildred operated on her patient. Christy stayed to watch and help, while Doc relaxed on the deck, enjoying a burst of bright, watery sunshine.
A wound of honor, my dear fellow.
Ah! Honor my ass. Ah.
Mildred bathed the wound with cold river water, making sure there was no residue of cloth or dirt left by the ball's passage that might remain and putrefy.
A strange thing, Honor. I do believe that it has caused almost as much sorrow, despair, and death as religion.
I have the feeling that you're building up to one of your interminable anecdotes, Doc.
Mildred bent low over Ryan's thigh, examining her work with close attention.
Go ahead, Doc. We'll take his mind off the bandaging.
I am minded of the time of the Crusades in Europe.
That, the Knights Against the Infidel? Saw a bit of an old bit about that once. Years ago.
Correct. You have good hands, Dr. Wyeth.
Thank you, Doc.
What about that story about honor?
Ryan was concentrating on not yelling out in pain. Despite all of Mildred's efforts, it was like having a red-hot needle drawn through the tender flesh of his thigh. Christy was holding his hand tightly.
Ah, yes. During the Crusades, an alarming number of young men of good families died. Some from the swords and arrows of the blaspheming Turks, far more from dysentery and typhoid. Back home in England, it was vital that the daughters of the wealthy and famous married well. It was a source of deep shame to the fathers if they did not. But there were no longer enough young men of standing to go around.
I thought they became nuns.
Some, but only a limited number. So some fathers came up with what were called marriages of honor or marriages of heraldry. Dreadful things. The father of a distinguished family would discover the name and rank of a young man who had died fighting for the true cross against the scimitar. Then he would announce that his daughter would wed him.
Even though he was dead? How could they do that?
Of course they couldn't do it, but they did. The daughter and two or three of her attendants would be taken to an isolated part of the castle and there walled in together. The shield that bore that coat of arms of the dead husband was placed against the barred door. A priest would recite the marriage ceremony, and then everyone went away.
Leaving them to starve?
Indeed, yes. A bleak and miserable passing for the poor souls. After a sufficient time had passed, the father would come back with the same priest. This time, it would be the funeral service. The daughter, legally wed, was removed and buried in the local church with full honor and dignity. And everyone concerned was happy ever after.
Mildred tied a knot in the length of torn material she'd used as a bandage.
That is appalling, Doc. Simply dreadful.
Is it true, Doc?
True? I believe so. But what is truth, my dear lady? Why, I am minded of an extraordinary tale set at the time that Kublai Khan had decreed his stately pleasure dome.
No thanks, Doc.
But it involves a sled carried by Custer on his expedition along the Rosebud.
No. Now, Ryan needs some quality rest. Everyone off the raft for an hour, so maybe we'll find some fruit if we all look around.
Be careful.
Sure thing. You just sleep. Everything will be fine, lover.
Ryan felt the clumsy raft rock as everyone stepped off onto the lush grass on the shore. His leg was finally comfortable in its tight bounds. He flexed it experimentally. He had been shot and stabbed often enough to know that this wasn't too bad a wound. He began to think back to other times when he'd suffered from a bout of lead poisoning and quickly drifted off into a warm and comfortable darkness. Opening his eye, Ryan was overcome with a momentary anxiety, not recognizing where he was. He then realized, however, that the raft was moving again. He was alone in the cabin, though he knew his friends were just outside. When he checked his wrist chron, he found that it was 18 minutes after 4 in the afternoon. His leg felt less painful, and the shock of the shooting was already fading away.
Where are we going?
Christy ducked in out of the bright sunshine, blinking in the gloom.
You feeling better, lover?
Some. Where are we going?
Where the river takes us. South. Just south.
Ryan slept again, not waking until the sun was setting away to the west, beyond some high wooded bluffs that lined the Tennessee River.
How are we doing? Anybody got any good drinking water out there?
Jack appeared in the doorway, moving stiffly, carrying a battered metal cup filled with fresh water and a handful of mixed berries, which he offered to Ryan.
Rich land. Plenty of game if we need it. Saw deer and pigs.
Thanks. How you feeling, Jack?
So, got a bruise like a stormy Colorado sunset. You?
Better than I was. Anything happen on the run south? Seen anyone?
Old man fishing with no line on the ride. No ears on the head, either. Caught out a low to us. Real cheerful life.
No danger?
Nah.
We mooring up soon?
Probably.
Thanks for the water and fruit.
You're welcome.
The teenager crept out as Christy came in, squatting at Ryan's side.
Well, how's the wounded hero? Been snoring like Doc while we sailed along.
Doesn't feel bad. Wouldn't back me to run against a hungry Sticky.
It's been a beautiful afternoon. Did Jack bring you some fruit?
Handful of berries. Pretty good. And some water. I needed that.
JB reckons we should be tying up for the night real soon, before it gets dark.
Sounds right to me. If you give me a hand, I'd like to see some sun before it all goes.
Ryan shuffled out on his ass, helped by Christy, moving backward and dragging his wounded leg behind him. The light from the setting sun was a bright reddish-orange, casting long shadows across the river. The waterway was nearly a quarter mile wide, still flowing clean and free. Mildred sat near the stern of the raft, close to JB, who was steering.
How is it, Ryan?
Not too bad. Are we mooring soon?
JB nodded, his eyes invisible behind the burning light reflected off his glasses.
Real soon.
You know where we are?
Christy pointed ahead, where there were the remains of what had once been a major highway bridge across the Tennessee. Its supports shattered and distorted, either by the nuking or by quakes.
Mildred thinks that could be old I-40.
Running east to west.
Doc was dozing near the bow, while Jack was on watch for any sign of life.
Oh, it's been a good afternoon. It makes me think that there could be worse ways of passing your life than on a boat on a good, safe river.
I thought you wanted a small farm with fresh grass and a spring and a few cattle. We'll get what we want one of these days, lover.
Christy stared at him, her emerald eyes intent on his face, looking as if she were about to say something.
Good morning, place to the left.
Ryan was still holding Christy's hand. You gonna say something, lover?
I was, but let it pass. It's nothing we haven't both heard plenty of times before.
JB brought the clumsy craft toward the riverbank. It was an idyllic scene, with an inlet where they could moor the raft to a tall, solitary live oak. A fast-flowing stream bubbled into the main river with the freshest, coolest water, and there were bushes of all kinds of berries, along with the overgrown remnants of an ancient orchard, the bent trees still bearing succulent pears and apples. Jack had borrowed Ryan's ponga and vanished into the surrounding countryside. He returned a half hour later with a brilliantly whittled walking stick.
Thanks a lot. This'll make me mobile.
Ryan took the stick and walked up and down the sloping shore, limping heavily and finding it hard going on the soft earth. Gradually, however, it became easier.
Look, you've started to bleed again. Got to rest it as much as you can, or I'll take your nice new stick and break it over my knee.
Oh, I love it when you get angry.
Maybe I'll break it over your bony ass
instead. Promises,
promises. How's that stew coming?
Almost done.
JB had managed to shoot a hare with Ryan's Steyr after they moored the raft. Mildred had found a number of mixed greens and herbs.
I feel sure that I could set my mind to some verses about the pleasures of life on the open highway, but perhaps it can wait for a subsequent occasion.
That'd be great, thanks.
Christy pulled the hare out of the boiling pot and laid it on a large leaf for everyone to help themselves.
The greens are done, too. Just mind the water. It's hot.
The steam had condensed on JB's glasses, and he took them off, putting them safely into one of the deep pockets of his coat.
Good.
Only good, John?
Better than good. Delicious.
See any other game out there?
Deer. But I couldn't carry a body back on my own, and it would have taken longer to cook. There's tracks all over the place. Horses, unshod. Some cattle, wild pigs. Man could live here for a long time and not go hungry.
After dinner, everybody lay back, relaxing, feeling the deep satisfaction of having shared a good meal among the best of friends.
I get some more wood for the fire.
Jack got up and walked away into the quiet darkness surrounding the camp, his magnesium hair visible a long while after the rest of him had completely vanished.
No sign of men or muties?
JB had his head in Mildred's lap, his glasses perched again on the bridge of his narrow nose.
Nothing. And apart from that solitary crazy we saw fishing, we haven't seen a soul. No smoke, no buildings. Though it looks like this might once have been part of a large estate. The orchard and the stuff that Mildred found could have come from a kitchen garden.
Best decide just where we're going and what we're doing.
A time out of war. Time to rest and a time to take it easy. A time for eating and sleeping. A time without fighting. Ah, me, but it has been a perniciously long time since we spent any time together without death and destruction dogging our steps.
True enough. I guess there's no reason why we shouldn't just cruise down for a day or so. Where would we end up, JB? Memphis?
Hell no. Memphis is a ways west of here.
How far?
100 miles, 120.
What's the biggest old ville we come to if we carry on down to Tennessee?
Jack returned from the woods with a pile of dry wood.
What you talking about?
Where we get to if we keep going south along the river?
Savannah.
Well, that's in Georgia. That's not what you mean, is it, John?
John Barrymore is right as ever, Dr. Wyeth. Where are all your memories of the Great War between the states? Your historical education was obviously somewhat lacking in this area.
Gone to flowers, everyone. What happened at Savannah, Tennessee, then?
Shiloh. Bloody Shiloh. Only about 10 miles away from Savannah. Dark night. We went close there with Traitor, but I never visited the battlefield. If it still exists, that'd be a wonderful thing to do.
How far from here, JB?
It depends on the goosenecks of the river. Twists and turns. I'd hazard a guess it'll be around 80 to 100 miles. Speed the water's flowing, that wouldn't take us more than a day's plain sailing.
I would be interested to see Shiloh. This is such fun, my friends. My good, good friends. A boating holiday. Hurrah!
An early night sounded like a good idea for all of them. JB, Jack, and Doc volunteered to split watch duties. But Ryan was experiencing some discomfort. Mildred came over and put a hand on his forehead.
You've got a slight fever. Maybe I should have stitched it for you, but both entrance and exit wounds were nice and neat. No deformation of the ball.
Being stitched is high on the list of things I fucking hate, Mildred.
Then you shouldn't go around getting yourself knifed and shot, should you?
I guess not. And I do appreciate what you've done for me. Cleaning it and bandaging it and all.
Part of the job. Oh, how pompous and stupid that sounds. It's the sort of thing I probably have said when I was in my late 20s, before the operation and the freezing. Part of the job. I'll be telling you all about my Hippocratic Oath next.
A white egret with a wingspread of at least a dozen feet floated elegantly above them like a snowy ghost.
I think I'm ready for bed.
On land or on the raft, lover?
Land, softer. Those logs have already worn some bear patches off my skin.
Keep the fire going and go get some more wood.
Ah, you all right, Jack?
Yeah, just a little sore.
I checked and I'm fairly certain that there's no fractures to the ribs. Might easily have damaged the intercostal cartilage, I suppose.
I'll be fine.